This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muslim, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everyone is doing well, inshallah ta'ala. Today is the 25th of October, 2020, and we are going to continue on with our class, Essential Fiqh. In fact, today what we're going to do is we're going to conclude the chapter on Hajj. Okay, we conclude the chapter on Hajj by looking at the virtues of Hajj and Umrah. Actually, no, not looking at the virtues of Hajj and Umrah. We're going to be looking at the virtues of visiting the city of Medina al Munawwara. Okay, the blessed city of Medina al Munawwara. Walillahi alhamd. Now, whenever we go for Hajj or anyone goes for Umrah, you know, from the etiquette of visiting Medina is to go and visit Masjid al-Nabawi, right? So when you go visit Medina, you usually go visit Masjid al-Nabawi as well. But before we get into that, you know, a lot of the time people think that Umrah itself must have a visit to Medina, and Hajj will not be complete until there's a visit to Medina that's made. And in fact, that's not the reality. The reality is that it is not compulsory to go for Hajj, to go visit Medina during your Hajj or during your Umrah trip, okay? So we're going to look at that, inshallah ta'ala, but before we do, let's look at some of the virtues, some of the blessings of the city of Medina al-Munawwara. To start with, Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily, Allah named Medina Taba," meaning the good, pure city, right? So good and pure, Taba. He says, "Verily Allah named Medina Taba." Okay, so the city of Medina to Munawwara, in fact, before we even get into that, for those who don't know Arabic, they might find it a little bit hard or difficult to understand why Medina is called something else. Most of us who speak English just call it Medina, okay, the city of Medina. But in fact, it's not Medina, it's Medina to Munawwara. Okay, or Taba, or Taiba, and there are many other names that we can use for the blessed city. Medina in Arabic actually means city. So when we say Al-Madinatul Munawwara, we say the enlightened city, or the illustrious city. Okay, so we're actually referring to the city as being blessed. Okay, so Madinatul Munawwara, the city of Nur. Okay, so Medina means city. So when we say I'm going to the city of Medina, we're actually saying I'm going to the city of Medina. Yeah, that is what we mean. We're going to the city of Medina means we're going to the city, if we were to translate it literally. Okay, now of course we know that Medina means, is the name of the city. We call it so on and so forth. But really, it's the enlightened city, Medina al-Munawwara, okay? Or Medina Taba, or Medina Taiba, okay? The good, pure city. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Medina is like a bellows which eliminates impurities." You know, I don't have one in my office because I'm not a blacksmith, but you know that thing that you use to blow air on fire, for example, or on iron, or if you're trying to make a fire and you have the old school fireplace and like, right? You squeeze that thing and it blows air out, and it basically gets the ashes off of the wood that's burning, and then you have good coal that's burning there. And it burns even stronger and brighter and harder. You also notice that it can be used for removing the impurities. As you heat up the iron, there's impurities that come off of it, and that, you know, sort of comes off. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but my name is Dawood, and Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was a steel iron worker, and my dad is a welder, so I know a lot about steel and iron and welding and stuff like that. So I don't know, it's just a thing. So most of you probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Medina is like a bellows which eliminates impurities. The hour will not occur until Medina banishes its evil ones like a bellows eliminates the impurities of iron." Okay. So one of the signs of the end of time is that Madinatul Munawwara will actually reject or those who are not pure and sincere in their belief will leave and run and flee the blessed city of Medina al-Munawwara. What are the virtues of its mosque, Masjid an-Nabawi? And should we be praying in Masjid an-Nabawi more than we pray in other masjids? Is there a better amount of blessing in that masjid? Or, you know, what do we know from this city? Well, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not undertake a journey except to three mosques. And I think I've taught you this before, right? لا تشد الرحال إلا لثلاثة مساجدة. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should not embark upon a journey. Now, what is meant here, you have to look into the explanation of the hadith. What is meant is, you cannot embark upon a journey for the purpose of ibadah. Okay? So you don't go intentionally to pray in a specific mosque or intentionally to perform some sort of pilgrimage other to the places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted. What that means is you are permitted to go on vacation, you're allowed to go sightseeing, you're allowed to go touring, you're allowed to go to many different places, but it shouldn't be your sole purpose and intention to go to this place for the sake of, let's say, praying in that mosque and then coming back. Okay, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives importance to these three places. And we should not grant a different status to other places and try and elevate them and bring them into a more important level within the deen. So, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not undertake a journey for religious purposes except to three mosques. The mosque of mine, Masjidi Hadha, right, which is referring to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid al-Nabawi. Secondly, the Masjid al-Haram, okay, al-Masjid al-Haram, which is in Mecca, the masjid built around the Kaaba. And thirdly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Masjid al-Aqsa. So, once again, do not undertake a journey except to three mosques. The mosque of mine, the Masjid al-Haram, and Masjid al-Aqsa, which is in Jerusalem. He also narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is he? Who narrated this? Let's see who's paying attention. Who narrated these hadith? Who narrated these hadith? Very quickly, you type it in there. Take any guess, wild guess. Don't worry, just type it in the chat. I want to see who's paying attention and who isn't. Yalla, yalla, yalla. No one's paying attention. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Okay, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He also narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a prayer in this mosque, referring to Masjid an-Nabawi, a prayer in this mosque of mine is better than 1,000 prayers in another mosque or in other mosques, except for Masjid al-Haram. So the reward or benefit of praying in Masjid an-Nabawi is that your prayer there is multiplied by 1,000 times. Okay, a prayer in this mosque of mine is better than 1,000 prayers in another mosque, except for Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And the reward for that we'll see shortly, inshallah ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Zayd narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is between my house and my pulpit or mimbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari rawdatun min riyad al-jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indicating that this area that the masjid is built in. And remember, Masjid an-Nabawi originally started from the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which also in front of his house is the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. I wish I had two cubes to show you what I'm talking about. Do I have blocks? Do I have anything that I could use? Okay, I'll use my book. So, you have the original Masjid an-Nabawi, okay, the original Masjid an-Nabawi, which is not where the new one is. So when you're coming in to say salam, the Prophet ﷺ, now the masjid extended further in the front, so the qibla is this way, right? And you would enter through Bab Salam, and you would go through to the other side, right here, where the grave of the Prophet ﷺ is situated, which is inside of the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. So right here, you would have the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and right behind it, you would have the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some people are like, what do you mean his house? I thought his house was the house of Aisha. Every single one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had their own house, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a house for him. Right? Surprise. For those of you living in Canada who just spent $1 million on a house, well, if you want a house of your own, you're going to have to dish out another $1 million, right? So Aisha radiallahu anha had her house here, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house was connected to it. So that wall, right, this wall was a wall between the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha radiallahu anha. Both of them shared the wall with the masjid. So the masjid now goes from here to the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, ما بين بيتي ومنبري, what is between my house and my minbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ. Okay? And that's why people, when they go to Madinatul Munawwara, they want to pray in the Rawdah. They want to pray in this blessed place that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called a garden of paradise. Okay, so what are the etiquettes of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi and a grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is found built, the masjid is found built around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when you look at the extensions that were made, the extensions were actually made, you know, branching around the grave or the houses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they are not within the masjid. So we do not say that the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is inside of Masjid al-Nabawi. We say that Masjid al-Nabawi is built around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that the masajid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, that the masajid belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not to worship anyone inside of those masajid except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in order to keep the masjid pure and sacred for the sake of worshiping only Allah, it is not encouraged in Islam to put graves inside of masajid, to have masajid with graves in them. The grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we said, is, if we look at it from an aerial view, we'll say, yeah, it's within it. But it's actually, the masjid was built around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to protect it, kind of like a fort or a fortress built around it to protect the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so no one could dig through or go and try and harm or, you know, dig up or do anything that they shouldn't be doing to the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I could talk about Madinah Munawwara all day long, okay? And that's because I lived there for 7.5 years studying in Medina and spent a lot of time in Masjid al-Nabawi. You know, would go sit in the front row, first row, second row, third row of Masjid al-Nabawi. Usually for Salat al-Asr, I would be there, or for Salat al-Maghrib, almost every single day. And, you know, we'd spend time looking around and understanding and analyzing and trying to, you know, visualize where things were inside Masjid al-Nabawi. We'll save that for the time that we go for Hajj and Umrah together, inshallah. Okay? Usually Umrah, we have a lot more time to sit and discuss and explain certain things. Of course, now, you know, anyone who's going to Masjid al-Nabawi, you have certain permits that you need to acquire in order to go into the Rawdah. So it's basically like booking a time, right? Scheduling a time to go and sit and pray in the Rawdah, which is actually nice because then everyone gets time with ease very calmly. And I think this is probably the first time that anyone goes to the Rawdah and enjoys themselves in terms of being at complete and full, you know, ease and calm and comfort. Now, from the etiquettes of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi, we see that the virtues that are particular to the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa, and the superiority of the prayers of those masjid is elevated But generally, visiting any masjid, the rules are pretty much the same. But there are certain things that are related to the Prophet's mosque, specifically because it is built around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no real specific etiquette for visiting the mosque itself that is different than any other masjid, okay? Except for the fact that the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is found bordered off within that area. Now, first of all, we look at when a person enters the mosque. So when a person enters any masjid, including the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he should enter with his right foot, or she should enter with her right foot. And of course, there's a number of different narrations of dua that we can say. One of them is Bismillah wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma gfirli dhunubi waftahli abwaab rahmatik. Or Bismillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma ftahli abwaab rahmatik. So in the name of Allah, and peace be upon the Messenger of Allah, O Allah, forgive my sins and open for me the doors of your mercy. Or someone can say, A'udhu billahi al-azim wa biwajhihi al-kareem wa sultanihi al-qadeem min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. I seek refuge in Allah the Great and in His noble face and His ancient rule from the accursed Satan. The second thing that we do, or from the etiquettes of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi, then a person should pray two raka'ah of tahiyyatul masjid before sitting down or before getting comfortable within the masjid. Now, of course, this is a typical thing that we do when going to any masjid except Masjid al-Haram. So when we go to Masjid al-Haram, the tahiyyatul masjid for Masjid al-Haram is making tawaf around the Kaaba. Okay, so make tawaf around the Kaaba seven times. That is the tahiyyatul masjid, which basically means the welcoming of the masjid. So the masjid welcoming us, we do something there, okay? We make tawaf in Masjid al-Haram, but every other masjid, we pray two raka'ah, tahiyyatul masjid, before sitting down in the masjid and getting comfortable there. Thirdly, from the etiquettes of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi, a person must be careful to avoid facing the direction of the noble grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while praying or facing it in supplication. So we do not face the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we're praying, nor does a person face it when they're making dua. So some people will come into Masjid al-Nabawi and have the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their left. It is not permitted to turn to the left and pray in the direction of the grave, or turn to an angle based on wherever we are within the masjid. It is not permissible to actually go and stand before the grave and to make dua asking, in the direction of the grave. What we find in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, we can face any direction when making dua, but from the etiquettes of making dua is that you actually face the Qibla. So turning towards the Qibla is something that is encouraged when, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Now, you might say, well, yeah, Dawood, that's obvious. But I actually lived in Medina for a number of years, and I've seen people not only face the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do some really strange things, but I've seen people go out to the Baqiyah and turn in the direction of the graves of people that are buried in the cemetery and actually pray towards those graves from outside the gates of the cemetery, outside the fence. So I know a lot of you might say, yeah, Dawood, that's obvious. We know this stuff. You don't need to tell us. But you know what? There's people who do some really strange things. And there might be 99 people who are watching this, or 99% of the people who are watching, we know this already, but there might be that 1% of people that say, I never knew that. And now they do. And so we have a responsibility to teach each other, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? What else have I seen? I've seen people go up on the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi. So when I was on the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi, like, you can actually go up there. It's not like they took a ladder and climbed up there or anything. No. So people will go up onto the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi, especially in the winter season. They used to open it up. You go up there and the air is nice and cool and it's beautiful in the daytime with the sun shining down on you. It's nice and warm and beautiful with a cool breeze. And I used to see some people turn in the direction of the Green Dome. So they would look for the Green Dome, and they know that underneath the Green Dome is the of the great Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I've seen people standing there on an angle, standing there and actually listening to what they're saying, and they're calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to bless them with certain things, or using him as an intercessor, or assuming that they are, but they're not, right? So they are actually committing shirk from the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi. I've seen this and I've heard it with my own eyes, and I actually approached people multiple times and tried to stop them and tell them, this is wrong what you're doing. Haram, 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 can't do it, right? And it's not like we're haram police, but it's a responsibility that we always felt as students there, that, you know what, if we learn something and we see people coming and doing things, remember, people only, most people will only make one trip to Mecca and Medina in their whole life, okay? I would probably say that the average Muslim will probably only make one trip there in their entire life. Now, when we don't do something regularly, we don't really know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. So, for example, you've never driven a car before. All of a sudden, your parents, you know, allow you to take the car keys, go out and drive. You're like, I don't know what to do. So you're probably going to do some things right, and you might do some things wrong as well. And that goes for anything. Like if someone says, I want you to come right up here and teach my class today, right? And I ask you, come and teach a class. And you're like, well, wait a second, I can't. Too bad. Here, you got it. It's all yours. All right, take care. Bye. How would you be able to teach a class, right? You'd be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I never done this before. I don't know where to look. I don't know how to turn on this and that and activate certain things. I don't know how to type in the... You know, there's so many things that we don't know. So when a person goes to Mecca or Medina, a lot of the time people don't know what to do. And because they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, and they've read about him and they've heard about him and they've, you know, tried to replicate certain things that he's done in his life and in our lives. And, you know, we have so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of the time people are blinded by that love and they don't know what they're supposed to do when they get there. So they do anything that tells them to. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to know what we're doing, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. Right? If you don't know something, go and find out, ask, educate yourself first, and then go and do that, right? Or don't do it if you're not supposed to do it. So it's important for us to educate ourselves with regards to the deen before we go and do certain things. So if you're going for Hajj, you're going for Umrah, educate yourselves. So I've seen people do these things, and this is why we're going over it. Number four. From the etiquettes of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi, a person should then, after you know, praying their two raka'ah, they can go and visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this arrive in Medina, they go to the masjid, they pray their two raka'ah, proceed towards giving salam to the Prophet alaihi wasallam. A person should avoid putting their hand on their chest, you know, when they're there or bowing down, right? Those are things that we don't do, right? We do that only for Allah. We only bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become humble, yes, by doing what wanted us to do, which ties in with the next point, right? The next point, number five, is not raise our voice in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the area of his masjid and his home. We keep our voice low. Quiet, soft, right? This is the way we talk around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether he was alive or after he's passed away. So we lower our tone a little bit and we speak nicely and quietly. What I've seen happening is people going in to give salam and they're walking in, they're like, oh, that's the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Check it out. And they take out their phone and like, salam alaikum everybody, yo, check it out, I'm in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they're like on Skype with family or WhatsApp calls, and you know, subhanAllah, it's just like, what's going on? And then you find other people that get there and they're just like, they don't even, like, they just keep, group leader tells them, you got to go every time you go to the masjid, go and give salam, go and give salam. So they're walking through and they're talking about KFC, they're talking about McDonald's, and they're talking about all these different restaurants they want to go eat at because it's halal for them over there. And they're just like, hey, you know what, let's go do this, let's do that. And they're laughing and joking in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi. And this is why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not encourage that we go do certain things very often. For example, the people of Mecca, they lose the... Because they live close to the Haram, they live close to the Kaaba. You know, it loses that speciality, right? That extra level of honor of going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the place that was built, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not his home. People who live in and around the area bring us back, right? You probably saw my post, I don't know, a few times in the last few months. Every now and then I just post about the Haram in Mecca or Medina, and I just say, Ya Allah, bring us back. Ya Allah, allow us to come visit your house. We wish to go back because we don't get to go as often as the people who live there. So to something, especially when Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, lose that, you know, sense of respect. It's like, okay, yeah, we're just walking through. It's a big deal, right? Yeah, the great is there, right? And so we have to understand how we're supposed to be, respect that area and that space, and make sure that we are not, you know, in violation of anything related to anything. Now, when a person stands before the grave of the Prophet, they send peace and blessings upon the Prophet. And you know, we also can use the greetings when we go visit the grave. مستأخرين وإنهم للاحقون. Right? Maybe. Of course, right next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Etiquette number five, like I mentioned, is that a person should have a tone that is lowered, right? We're not to raise our voice around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number six, a person should try to pray in the first two rows of the congregation. And what do we mean? Sorry, not the first two rows, the first rows. I don't know why I said two, right? We should try to pray in the front rows of the masjid, as far front as we can. Right? Try to get as close to the front of the masjid as you can when you're praying the congregational prayers. Why do we do this? Well, because there's a great reward for being closer to the front or being in the front row. لَوْ يَعْلَمِ النَّاسِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if people knew مَا فِي النِّدَاء what is in the importance of coming early to the masjid when the call to prayer is being made or before the call to prayer is being made. وَالصَّفَّ الْأَوَّلِ and the first row, right, front row, لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوًا The Prophet ﷺ says, we would come to those two, you know, come to the masjid early and try to be in the front row, even if we had to crawl to the masjid. Okay? Even if we had to crawl to the masjid. So the Prophet ﷺ is showing us there the importance of being early and the importance of trying to make it into the front. The reward is greater for being in the front rows as opposed to being in the last rows. And when we talk about the masjid of the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reason why our teachers always try to get in the front rows, don't try to get into the rawda, right? And that's the next point. The next point is that a person, you know, should desire to try and pray in the rawda, which the place between the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Be said, it is a garden from the gardens of paradise. However, there is no special merit or no special reward with regards to praying in that area that we. Okay, there's nothing that has been mentioned like your prayer is multiplied or something of that sort. No, it's basically indicating that this is a sacred space and it's blessed and we should try our be in that area. Why? First of all, that's the original space of Masjid Nabawi. That's where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were. That's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequented. He walked back and forth all the time for every one of the prayers from his house to the minbar. That's a place the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequented, the most frequented area probably on earth by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Between his house and the minbar, going to pray, lead the prayers, right? And to a dribble. So there's obviously, you know, an importance to that area. However, sometimes people will stay back to try and pray in the Rawdah when the front rows are empty. And I remember, you know, I used to see this all the time. Every single day, we'd try to get to the front, either for Asr or for Maghrib, and we'd come early and, you know, go to the front. And the front rows of the masjid would be empty, especially if you come like an hour and a half before Asr, right? Or if you stay after till Asr, no one's there. And you could sit there, pick up your mushaf, recite the Quran, no one's going to bother you. When it's time for Salah, if you're already seated there, well, alhamdulillah, you are now praying in the front row of Masjid Nabawi. But everyone is behind you, fighting with each other to try and pray in the Rawdah, when the reward for praying in the front rows is greater than praying in the rows behind you. So that's a mistake that people make. And we used to see it and be like, if only they knew, right? So subhanAllah, try to make it to the front rows. Try to pray in the Rawdah, try to make dua in the Rawdah, try to get there, make dua adhkar, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for forgiveness, but remember the front rows, sid rows to pray in during the congregational prayer. Okay? Number eight, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to pray 40 consecutive prayers in the Prophet's mosque. So, yes, some people will say, but I heard that there's a hadith. Okay. There is a hadith that is weak and not authentic, and that practice is based on that hadith that states, whoever prays 40 prayers in my mosque without missing a prayer will have for him freedom from the fire, rescue from the punishment, and freedom from hypocrisy. But it is not an authentic hadith, and it is a weak hadith. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to things like this, let's make sure that we understand that we are not supposed to be missing prayers. And one thing that I've seen in the years that I lived there is will be very comfortable to miss prayers, miss them without feeling any sadness. But when they come to Medina, they're like, oh, we have to do this. We have to, because 3 days, I'm going to be saved from Jahannam. I'm going to paradise, right? By praying 40 consecutive prayers. That's what they think, right? So it's not even 40 days, just a few days. I need to be in Medina for these days so that, you know, you can make those. It's not something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages Salah to do. And it was not a common or general practice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It's not something that we're encouraged to do. Remember, some people will also, and this is a point that I wanted to bring up later, but some people will also try to stay in Mecca for a shorter period of time during their trip. Let's say their trip is 3 weeks long. They'll try to stay in Mecca for just like 4 days and then spend the rest of the time in Medina because they're trying to get 40 consecutive prayers. Don't we know that being in Masjid al-Haram is much greater of a than praying in Masjid al-Nabawi? We do. We mentioned that and we'll come to it, right? So remember, actually better for us to be in Mecca than it is for us to be in Medina. Okay, it's more rewarding for us to be in Mecca than it is for us to be in Medina. Number nine, it is not sanctioned to continually go back and visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to greet him. Right? If a person wants to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not need to go to the grave. Wherever you are, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said this, right? Wherever you are on earth, you could be here in Milton, you could be in Mississauga, you could be in Toronto, you could be in Canada. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Or Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And is done. It's sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you hear the name of Muhammad, you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An airplane and fly over there and walk all the way up to Masjid Nabawi, you get in front of the grave and be like, you know what, on October 25th in the middle of class I heard Dawud Muhammad, and so here I am today. He was sallam. That's ridiculous, right? So, you know, subhanAllah, you can send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wherever we are, and it reaches him. Okay, so you do not need to go and stand or try to visit the grave every single one of the prayers. Now, if someone says, this is my only chance, the only time that I'm ever here, I want to try and go maybe once a day or something, fine, right? Fine. There's no like restriction on that. However, what we do need to understand is if a person does go, that's fine as well. Send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more and more. More and more, wherever we are. You know, some of our teachers, up until today, whenever you see them, meet with them, talk to them, sit with them, they're constantly, Sallu ala nabi, Sallu ala nabi, right? Salli ala nabi. Constantly reminding each other, send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 10. From the etiquettes of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi, when the person leaves the masjid, he should not leave by walking backwards. I see some people doing this even in our masjid over here. When we finish the prayer, they walk out going backwards until they've passed all the rows where people are praying, and then they'll turn and walk the other way. They won't turn their back towards the Qibla. Now, is that from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, it isn't. Are we allowed to walk backwards? We're not supposed to. That's not something that was done, right? This is something new that's added or innovation, an innovation within our deen. So don't leave walking backwards. Instead, a person leaves the masjid exiting with their left foot. So step forward with your left foot to exit the masjid. And Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik, or bismillah wa salamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma ghfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab fadlik. Okay, in the name of Allah, and peace upon be upon the Messenger of Allah. O Allah, forgive me of my sins and open for me the doors of your bounty. Alhamdulillah. Right. Now, a few other things, and we'll go through this fairly quickly, inshallah ta'ala. When visiting Masjid, when visiting Madinatul Munawwara, sometimes people will end up visiting Masjid Quba. Okay, Masjid Quba. And it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit Masjid Quba, especially if you're in the city of Medina. So if you're visiting Medina, then you go and you visit Masjid Quba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself used to go on Saturday morning after Salatul Fajr, he used to go to Masjid Quba. Why? It is the very first masjid that was built in Islam. When we say during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in a community masjid that was built, especially from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is it. Now, does that mean that it is the very first place that was established for prayer? No, of course not. They used to pray in Mecca, and they used to pray in front of the Kaaba. But the actual building of a structure or a place to pray, known as a masjid, the very first one was Masjid Quba that was built. We know Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu had made a place within his home when the boycott was taking place of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Muslims were going through a very difficult time, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, he was facing some challenges. In fact, I think it was just before that, he built he didn't build anything, but he reserved an area within his home that he considered it to be a masjid, and he couldn't leave, and he considered that a masjid, and so he would stand there and he would recite the Quran loudly within his home. So he wasn't allowed to recite it outside loudly, but within his home he would do that. Okay. So it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit Masjid Quba, and as we mentioned, he would visit it on Saturdays, and he would actually go there walking. So he would walk from his home right by Masjid An-Nabawi all the way to Masjid Quba, or sometimes he would ride his animal. So he would visit it on Saturday mornings. He would pray two raka'ah therein. Okay. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever purifies himself or herself in his home, as in they make wudu at home, or wherever they're staying within Medina. So if you're staying in a hotel, that's considered your home. That's your temporary home within Medina. Okay. So whoever purifies himself in his house and then goes to Masjid Quba and prays a prayer therein, right? Prays two raka'ah within Masjid Quba, will have for him or her like the reward of an umrah. So they will get the reward of an umrah, right? That doesn't mean that they get the reward of having performed umrah, as in they, you know, this person went for umrah. No, but you will get the rewards that a person would typically get had they gone for umrah, okay? Which is an abundant, large amount of rewards. So that is really what is meant by this hadith here, okay? Now, what about visiting the Baqir? Okay, what about visiting the Baqir, which is the cemetery right next to Masjid al-Nabawi? What if we're visiting that? And also Mount Uhud, okay? So we have Mount Uhud, which is right next to, basically, man, you know, when you come out of the airport, if you land in Medina and you come out of the airport and you look in front of you, that's Mount Uhud right there. But that's the end of Mount Uhud. So all the way to the other end is where the Battle of Uhud took place. Okay, so the Baqir, we'll start with that. That's the Muslim cemetery in Medina. Many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ are buried there. As for Uhud, well, the Prophet ﷺ said, Uhud is a mountain which loves us and we love it. So Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. Okay, so getting back to the Baqir, to the cemetery, if someone comes to Medina to Munawwara and wishes to visit the Baqir or the cemetery at Mount Uhud, then there is no prohibition on this. It is something that's permitted to do. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ in the initial years forbade visiting the graves. Okay, but in the later years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to make it permissible for everyone to go and to visit the graves and to be reminded of the hereafter, reminded of the short span of time that we would live in this life, also to remind us of the importance of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and where we are going, our direction in life. And it's a lesson to remind us of what happened to the people of the past. Okay, their hardships, their struggles, or maybe even the punishments that came to certain people. Not talking about at the Baqir or at Uhud, but other cemeteries, you know, or other places on earth where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. You know, it reminds us of that and we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. There are other places that a person can visit within the city of Medina to Munawwara, and it is permissible to go and visit them, but there's no specific need to go and do that. So if a person goes to Medina and does not go to certain places, that's fine as well. From the places that a person might visit when they're there in Medina is Sab' Masajid, okay, the seven mosques, which is close to the area that the Battle of Al-Khandaq took place, okay. Usually the bus just drives down. You'll see that some buses from some countries, you know, some people give a huge importance to certain things and they'll stop there and they'll climb up and go into some of the masajid and pray there and stuff like that. If people want to go there and learn about it, that's perfectly fine. You can go and learn about the area. So you can go and visit that area and learn about it. The other place is Masjid Qiblatain that people go to, which in fact is Masjid Banu Salama. And we'll talk about that when we go there for Hajj and Umrah, inshallah, very, very soon. Inshallah ta'ala. Say Ameen and type Ameen. Let it be known and recorded in writing. Also, Masjid al-Ghamama. Okay, Masjid al-Ghamama. And masjid that are around the area of Masjid al-Nabawi, like Masjid Abu Bakr and Masjid Umar and Masjid Aisha. Okay, you can go and visit these places as well. Now, the visitor should not think that he's getting some sort of special blessing or she's getting blessed in a certain way by going and visiting all these extra places. There are wells within the city of Medina, like the well of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Bi'r Uthmani, and all these, you know, places that we know in history. There's no specific reward for going and visiting them, but it allows us to understand and to learn more about the history of the Muslims at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two important points that we will end with, inshallah ta'ala. The last two things that we will take, okay? The last two things are, number one, many pilgrims seek to spend more days in Medina, like I mentioned earlier. So a lot of people will seek to spend more time in Medina as opposed to spending more time in Mecca. When in fact, a prayer in Masjid al-Haram is worth how much? It's worth 100,000 prayers. Praying in Masjid al-Haram is worth 100,000 prayers, okay? And praying in Masjid al-Nabawi is worth how much? 1,000 prayers, okay? So what is better, 100,000 or 1,000, Okay? We know praying in any other masjid, like praying in our masjid over here, the reward for praying that prayer in congregation is multiplied by 27 times, right? And that's because a prayer that's prayed in any masjid, right, even in Masjid al-Nabawi or in Masjid al-Haram, is multiplied in congregation, if we're praying the congregational prayer, by 27 times. Now, the reward for praying in that masjid, in general, is multiplied by 1,000 times for Masjid al-Nabawi and 100,000 times for Masjid al-Haram. You do the math. Which one is better, right? So a lot of the time, people will spend their time in Medina, not realizing they could be getting, or they're missing out on a lot more rewards had they stayed in Mecca or spent more time in Mecca. The second and last point that we'll take, inshallah ta'ala, many of the pilgrims or Muslims believe that visiting the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina is one of the rites of Hajj, and that is not true. Your Hajj is accepted without you even going to Medina. And yes, some people will say, quote a number of fabricated hadith that are not true, whoever makes Hajj and does not visit me has dishonored me. That is not true, okay? It is not compulsory for someone to go to Medina after they've finished their Hajj or finished their Umrah. So if someone flies into Jeddah, goes into Mecca, their Hajj, and goes back to Jeddah and flies out and never even sets foot in Medina, their Hajj and their Umrah is not invalidated. Okay, I can't say that it's correct or accepted, because only Allah knows if it's accepted or not, right? But if they follow through with all of the principles, then it would be correct, and you do not need to go to Medina. Okay, there's no absolute need to go to Medina al-Munawwarah. That's it for today, inshallah ta'ala. That brings us to the end of the chapter on Hajj. And from next week, we will begin the next chapter, which is marriage. Alhamdulillah. Here we go. And in fact, there's just about 100 pages in this chapter. So we're going to be talking about marriage. A lot of things to do with marriage. We're obviously going to talk about marriage and divorce and how to choose a spouse and how to, the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife and so on and so forth. So please do join us and share this with others and let them know that, inshallah ta'ala, next week we're starting the chapter on marriage. And we're going to be going through a lot of things dealing with marriage. Okay? Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. وبارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.